What's cracking? Into hour number three, a very good Friday to you. Yeah, I don't know about you, I'm having a really good Friday. A tremendous Friday. Third hour is going to be a big one, too. The show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. We had Jim Trotter. We had Brooks Koepka for the first time. We had DeForest Buckner, who I thought was great, way back in hour number one. I've got episode number 99 of the Jim Rome podcast with Randy Couture, which I want to hit. You know what, though? Before I do anything else this hour, why don't we go to the phones? They are toll-free. They are loading up. Let's do it. It's Friday. How can I have a huge call at the end of the day if I don't take a phone call during the show? How can I have a huge call if I don't rack anybody? Let's go to the ABQ. Now, remember, Albuquerque is an Original Four affiliate. And I got to admit, I'm getting a little nostalgic as I think about the upcoming Radio Hall of Fame induction ceremonies. And I look back on my career, I look back on my life, and I think about things like Albuquerque, an Original Four. This network started with four affiliates. One was Albuquerque. The same station the entire time in the ABQ. So when I think about Albuquerque and what it's meant to this show, it's really important. And when I think about Albuquerque, I think about this guy. R-E-X in the ABQ to start hour number three. Hey, Rex.
Hey, Jimmy, you know, just real quickly, to all those people, all these marks on Twitter that are telling us to bet against New England because their offense looks bad, that's called recency bias, and that's how casinos get built in Vegas, okay? But otherwise, in terms of Brooks Koepka, what a great get. He just has that right mindset to win majors. Golf isn't the only thing in his life, and he's not going to start gripping out there like the other guys, which is a huge advantage. You could just tell how relaxed he is. But let's be real. His competition isn't much to worry about. Dustin Johnson and his sub-50 IQ can't tell the difference between a 6 or a 9 iron, so not much to worry about there. And Rory is too busy being put on the clock for slow play on the back nine because he's racing toward the Portageon in his little high-waisted pants to start building a log cabin. You know what I mean?
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Yes, Rex, I know exactly what you mean. I was going to compliment you on use or the use of the phrase recency bias, and I thought you were making some pretty good points. But then when you got to Rory and you talked about his high-waisted pants and his race to the Portageon, I knew that it was going to end badly. I didn't necessarily know that it was going to end with you talking about him constructing a log cabin, but I probably should have known, Rex. Because I know you, and I know your brand. Recency bias aside, Rex, so why don't you just do what you do, Rex, and go around Twitter and high-five the five people who find you amusing. And try not to call anytime soon, Rex. Rex in the ABQ. You remember how back in the day when he would call the program, and I'd say, hey, Rex, you need to decide who it is you want to be. Oh, he decided all right. He's going to be the guy that calls the show, that talks about Rory building a log cabin. That's who he is. Oh, he decided all right. You know what Rex is? Rex is a dog's name. Rex is a dog's name. Rex is a dog's name. How do I know that? Because we had the Rex streak back in the day. Speaking of dogs, hey, Rex, thanks. Thanks for nothing, Rex.
Rex is a dog's name. Rex is a dog's name.
You know what they say about people who live in log cabins, Rex? Anyway, listen, I'm not going to tell you, Rex. I'm not going to tell you, Rex. I'm not going to tell any of you how to live your life. So don't tell me how to live mine. But I will tell you this. You never want to be or you never want to have your name mentioned in the same sentence as Doggy Door and Taser. Unfortunately, San Diego Padres pitcher Jacob Nix was not aware of that rule. Or if he was, he was out to break that rule. Instead, he got broken by it. And honestly, this story is so much worse than you could even imagine. Maybe you've heard the story, but it's even worse than you thought. According to CNN, police were called to a home in Peoria, Arizona, early Sunday morning. Let me stop right there. Early Sunday morning. The phrase early Sunday morning is one of many pivot points in this story. Like if I were to tell you something happened early Sunday morning, you might initially think, hey, Rome, you're talking about a guy with initiative, a guy who's getting up early on a day of rest and looking to make things happen. You know, maybe he went for a run. Maybe he went out for a swim. Maybe he cranked out a few burpees. Maybe he got some work done. Maybe he made breakfast for somebody he loves. Early Sunday morning, right? Except not in this case. In this case, early Sunday morning is actually really late Saturday night. Because 3:30 a.m. is not about getting a great start on Sunday. It's about having a terrible end to Saturday. And Jacob Nix had a really, really bad end to his Saturday. Let me read a part from the CNN article. Quote, a woman in Peoria, Arizona, a suburb of Phoenix, called police after her husband caught a man entering their residence early Sunday morning, according to a police report. End quote. So that's pretty scary, right? It's about to get worse. Worse for the guy who's trying to break in, because the article continues, quote, the husband told Peoria police he was awoken around 3:30 a.m. when he heard sounds coming from the doggy door located in his bedroom, the police report said. He said he saw a flashlight shining through the door that leads to the backyard and then noticed a man attempting to crawl through. End quote. All right. Go ahead. Go on. You've got my attention. Here comes the plot twist. Quote, the husband yelled for his wife to call 911 and give him his gun. According to the police report, his wife told police she could not retrieve her husband's handgun, so she grabbed the taser instead. End quote. Holy crap. Now it's on. Now it's go time. And there's more. Quote, the husband told police he kicked Nix in the face, then noticed another man's arm reach in to try to pull Nix outside. Nix and the other man, whom police identified as Thomas Cosgrove, 23, started running away. Armed with his stun gun, the husband leaned through the doggy door, took aim, and struck Nix in his back, according to the police report. End of quote. All right, now we've got the intel we need. Now that we have the information, we can start to draw a few conclusions. Here's mine. There are no good houses to attempt to squeeze through a doggy door in. However, Nix picked the worst house. He picked a house where a guy was ready and waiting for him. That was go time for that homeowner. Like, hey, honey, call 911. Tell them somebody is about to get kicked in the face and tased. Once again, nothing good is going to happen when you crawl through a doggy door at 3:30 in the morning. But getting kicked in the face and blasted with a taser is the absolute worst. But it could have been even worse because Nix only got shot with a taser and not the homeowner's 9mm or whatever it is he's packing because the wife couldn't find the gun. Man, I got to know, how tanked do you have to be to go crawling through somebody's dog door at 3:30 in the morning? What is the blood, alcohol, puppy chow level on some jackass wannabe teen wolf? And what is the field sobriety test in that case? Do the cops pull this guy out of the door and say, hey, sit, roll over, fetch, stand up on your back legs. Hey, bark the alphabet backwards. Follow the treat in my hand without moving your head, Rover. Walk this straight line. Now check that. W-A-L-K, this straight line. I mean, of all the all-time bad lists, bad looks, on the list of all-time bad looks, attempting to enter somebody's house in the middle of the night through a dog door is right near the top. Unless you're a dog. And last I checked, Jacob Nix is not. I'm pretty sure the Padres did not go to the Westminster Dog Show and draft a mutt in the third round back in 15. And I'm pretty sure these are not the October headlines that a Major League Baseball franchise who has not made the postseason in over a decade was looking for. I mean, and where was this dude coming from? Where was he coming from? Where was last call? The backyard doghouse? Was he looking to hit the bowl of Purina and sleep at the foot of the owner's bed? Was he going to jump up into the owner's bed? Hey, sidebar. What's up with y'all who let your big dog sleep in the bed with you? Kind of weird, right? I'm a dog guy. I just don't ever remember having the dog sleep in the bed. But then again, we never had a dog door. And y'all know what happened to my dogs. Y'all remember what happened to the Rome family dogs back in the day, right? I'm just going to leave that alone for now. Anyway, yeah, that's fine, Alvin. Thanks. Listen, I understand deductive reasoning is not a strong suit of a drunk or drugged or both or something guy at 3:30 in the morning. But like, if there's a dog door, then there's a dog. And depending on what kind of a dog is in that house, Nix is lucky that the owner found him and not the potential face gnawer. You don't want to get your face gnawed off. That said, the owner did kick him in the mug and then did tase him and would have shot him probably had the wife found the gun. So it's not like he got out unscathed. Personally, I would have hit him in the nose with a rolled up newspaper. Imagine Jacob Nix with a stun gun pulsating through his back screaming, "Don't tase me, master! Don't tase me!
Don't tase me, bro!
Let's go for a W-A-L-K!
Don't tase me, bro!"
I think it's time to update the back of this guy's baseball card. 6'4", 220, can mix velocity and location, and can get half his body through a stranger's dog door at 3:30 in the morning. My favorite part of the story is that he told the cops he thought that he was entering his own home. And then I think the cops probably said something along the lines of, through the dog door. Do you normally enter your own home through your dog door? And he admitted, "I don't have a dog door." Well, if you don't have a dog door, why are you telling them that you're entering your own home? So either you knew you were not entering your own home, or you actually thought that your front door had just randomly shrunk down to the size of a dog door. Well, that's weird. Guess the girlfriend must have shrunk the front door down to a dog door. That's a pretty funny bit. This is pretty weird. Normally, I just put the key in the deadbolt and I walk on through. But there is no deadbolt. In fact, there's no door. I guess I'll just get down on my stomach and crawl through this plastic flap here. Oh, well, here goes nothing. Baseball bat. Baseball bat. Get this guy a shock collar and an invisible fence.
Baseball bat. Get this guy a tennis racket.
The most stunning part of that story, I think, is that it happened in Peoria and not someplace in Florida. Once again, let me leave you with this piece of advice that my father used to tell me all the time. He passed away in the early 90s, my dad, but not before letting me know. Van Smack, nothing good ever happens at 3:30 in the morning when you're trying to shimmy through dog doors. Nothing, son. Don't you be calling me at 3:30 in the morning when you're stuck in a dog door and somebody's lighting you up with a taser. Because nothing good happens at 3:30 in the morning with you in a dog door. Nix either did not grow up with a father, or his old man never had that talk with him. Trust me, I sat down Jake Rome before I sent him to Madison to go to college. And now that Logan has started high school, I'll be having that talk with him the first chance I get. In fact, Logs and I will be having that talk tonight. Hey, Logan, maybe you've heard this talk that you and your brother and I had, or your brother and I had so many times. Man, don't you be out at 3:30 in the morning in a dog door, man. Nothing good happens. And I know Logan. Logan will be like, well, like what? What's the worst that could happen? Let me tell you what could happen, son. Let me tell you what could happen, Rogan Loam. You go into somebody's dog door at 3:30 in the morning, you're going to get kicked in the face. And you're going to get tased, if you're lucky. Don't do it. Don't be a knucklehead, man. Nothing good happens at 3:30 in the morning in a dog door. 1-800-636-8686. Man, how wasted would you have to be? I mean, I don't know what he was on, but it was something. If you can't locate a house, this is not one of those deals like where you go to some hotel and you're like, whoa, man, this resort. Man, where's my room? That's like, where's my house? I can't find my house. I can't find the front door. Oh, there's a dog door. I think I'll just try and go through that. Hey, man, I've had bad nights and I've been overserved. Never that overserved. When we come back, there's more. I want to talk Randy Couture. Also, 818 for life. Really unfortunate story involving Pierce College. 818 and the football team. And Coach Slumlord. Something I meant to get to earlier in the week. I'm not sure I have time for it, but I might. Philadelphia's got rage rooms. In fact, they're showing up all over America, but Philly's got a rage room. The Flyers do. It's where you go when you want to rage. It's where you go when you want to break stuff. And we have Alvin's Ionic week that was. And the ATP. Ionic. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Alvy's Week to Us is coming up. Before I wrap this hour, I do want to mention episode 99 of the Jim Rome Podcast, officially on the rack, ready for your download as of right now. This week, my guest is UFC Hall of Famer and an all-time old-school badass. Class act, but a badass, Randy Couture. Now, before I get into some of that conversation, let me just say this really quickly. I want to speak to the people who heard me just say the three letters UFC or MMA and wrote this episode off right then and there. I understand that the UFC or MMA is not for everybody and you might be somewhere between indifference and outright disdain or hate when it comes to the sport. All right, that's fine. I'm not here to change your mind. I'm here to say open up your mind, but I'm not here to change your mind. But I am here to say this. This podcast is not that. I didn't bring Randy Couture on to break down the importance of a good ground game or talk about why body shots can be just as effective as head shots. I mean, it's all important when it comes to the sport. But I brought Randy Couture on to talk about Randy Couture because he's got a great story. A wrestler turned prize fighter, turned Hall of Famer, turned actor. Like UFC, the company is about to put on UFC 244. He debuted in UFC 13 back in 1997. And he vividly remembers the time when the company was on the verge of folding completely.
It absolutely was on the cusp of going away. Senator McCain had spoken out about it, called it human cockfighting. And, you know, obviously he had ties to Anheuser-Busch and boxing was feeling a little heat and pressure from the pay-per-view numbers that No Holds Barred or MMA, they called it No Holds Barred back then because there were really only a couple of things that were barred from being used. But they were definitely, they got a ban from cable. About the only place you could find it was on the internet. And so it was much more difficult. They were suffering. The pay-per-view numbers weren't what they were because of this political backlash. And to the Fertittas and Dana White's credit, when they bought the company, it was in pretty bad disrepair. They put it back in order, kind of went on the road to remarketing it and running towards regulation, creating the unified rules that we all use now. And that was a boost to the sport, gave it a regularity, a commonality, and something that people, I think, could understand. Creating rounds, the scoring system, all these things that we kind of recognize from boxing all kind of came out of that era.
So not only did the company nearly not exist, but the entire sport nearly went away. So whether you like that sport or not, you can't deny how fascinating that is, that it came back. That company that the Fertittas paid $2 million for, that Dana White built into a $4 billion empire. Like, the UFC did that massive deal with ESPN, a freaking Disney-owned outfit, right? The whole thing almost went away because it was, quote, human cockfighting. Disney did a huge deal, slash ESPN. A few decades after Randy Couture says, the whole thing nearly went away. And that you couldn't find the fights anywhere except on the internet. He also remembers his very first fight back in 1997. Now, check that. His very first fights on the same night.
Walking out of that tunnel and with a frenzied group of fans trying to literally rip the shirt off of me as I walked to the cage was a surreal moment. Seeing that 300-pound guy standing in the cage waiting for me to get in there, it was intimidating. It wasn't sure, you know, hearing that cage door close behind you wasn't a surreal moment. One of those things where you just got to make a decision and overcome it. You know, stay in there and fight your emotions to freak out. In both of those fights, and put me right in the groove and kind of led me to being able to secure those victories.
Randy, you just said in both those fights, you fought twice that night, right?
That's right.
You sound like Stuart Elliott there for a minute, didn't he? That's right. No, Randy Couture, he had a little more to offer the conversation than Stuart did back in the day. He fought twice that night. He fought twice in one night. Most of us can't do a second run at the YMCA pickup game, and these guys were fighting twice in the same night. So the evolution of the sport itself is pretty surreal, and Randy was there almost nearly from the jump. What's equally impressive is the same guy who fought in UFC 13 also fought for the final time at UFC 129 as a 47-year-old. 47. So I had to ask him what kept him going for so long in a sport that is so violent and so brutal by nature.
It was more about mindset. How did I feel? What did I think? What allowed me to go to 47 when, you know, a lot of guys don't really make it into their 40s? Thankfully, physically, I held up very well. And psychologically, mentally, I had the burning desire to continue to grind out a camp and go back out there and compete again. And I think the realistic conversation I had to have was I got into this to be the best, to be the number one guy in my weight class. And I had to have a real conversation with myself. Was that where I was at? Was that where I was going to be and where I was headed? Was I going to be in the next title fight, fighting for that championship belt and that number one spot again? And the honest answer to that question was no. So why? Am I just grinding out of camp to get another check? What's the deal? And, you know, I wasn't just a jobber. I wanted to be the best at it. So I think those are very personal questions.
See, this is why I keep banging you over the head with this podcast. This is why we do this, to have long-form conversations like that. I hadn't spoken to Randy Couture since I did JRIB on ESPN. I hadn't talked to him probably in 10 years. So we can have conversations like that. Like, we all marvel at Tom Brady playing football into his early 40s. Randy Couture was squaring up with Brock Lesnar at the same age. I mean, mad respect. And he shared his thoughts on the career arc of Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor came out of nowhere to be the biggest thing in the world when he was the double champ. And it didn't take that long when you think about it, but he hasn't won a fight now in 3 years, so where does that leave him?
I hope he does figure this out and kind of get back in touch with what kind of brought him this far and kind of cut loose a bunch of this baggage and things that he's dragging around that he's involved in. And I hate to see him turn into a tragic story. I think he has the potential to be an amazing story when you consider where he's come from and all the things he's overcome to be where he's at. And there's a lot of people looking at him, which when you're a young kid, they don't teach you how to deal with that, how to take millions and millions of dollars and effectively deal with that either. So he's got a lot of things pulling at him. I think you're right. I think he is a great fighter. I think he's got some holes in his game. And I think Khabib pointed out one of the issues I saw. Chad Mendes was the first one to expose it, and B was really the guy to take advantage of that potential hole in his ability on the ground. But he's been a dynamic fighter, and you know, I'm not a big fan of the antics outside of the cage publicity stunts, if you will. I think that's not really what that's in more in line with WWE than prize fighting, in my opinion. But he's certainly taken that to a new level and become a very, very popular figure, and I'd hate to see that end badly.
I agree with everything he said, except for that one point about some of the antics outside the ring. I don't mean him running dollies through bus windows. I don't mean him running his fist through some old man's face. But those antics, yeah, let me be very clear about this. I would never take issue with what a prize fighter like Randy Couture says about another prize fighter. Like, who am I to do that? I'm just saying from where I'm sitting, those antics, the smack talking, the showmanship, the things that Conor McGregor did, that went a long way towards making him who he was. I'm all about that. I'm here for that. Just not him breaking the law. Not him trying to break some old man's face for not drinking his whiskey. Not him breaking a bus window with a dolly. Not him breaking somebody's cell phone because the guy tried to take his picture. This could end really badly for McGregor. I hope not. And then finally, I mentioned that Randy's done some blockbuster acting as well, most notably in the Expendables franchise. I did ask him about the challenge of going from the octagon to the movie set.
It's a process. I was, you know, I've literally spent my entire life as an athlete kind of boxing my emotions up and pushing them to the side and staying focused on the task at hand and going out and doing what I trained to do. And this whole process of acting, you know, they want you to find ways to tell the truth, to emote real things. And it's so kind of weird from an athletics mindset to go out and do that. But at the same time, I think there's a lot of things from athletic that translates very, very well. With diligent, prepared, easy to coach. I'm going to be the first one on set, ready and dressed to go. I'm going to know my lines and have them down. And then be coachable, be willing to make adjustments and try and give them what they're looking for that character. And I think that's really the process.
And one more thing about this. I don't have a soundbite for it here, but remember that conversation years back when we were talking about a boxer and an MMA or who would win, who would win? Long before Floyd and Conor McGregor had their fight, this was a thing because UFC was growing so quickly. And there was that talk, you know, like the boxing establishment was pushing back and pushing back. And I always said, it's neither here nor there. It depends whose rules they fight with. If you have an MMAer fight with boxing rules, it's probably not going to go well. If you have a boxer fight with MMA rules, he's not going to last a minute. Well, they finally had the fight, James Toney and Randy Couture in 2010. And we talked about that. He's a really interesting guy. Really cerebral. Great to get caught up with him. I would recommend you checking that out. About 40 minutes of that, and it's all good. Ep 99 with Randy Couture. It's on iTunes. It's on Google Play. It's on Apple Podcasts. If you can't figure it out, just go to jimrome.com. Last resort, it's pinned to the top of my Twitter feed right now. You cannot miss the link. Make sure you check that out. Really good conversation. And then once you've done that, we start the countdown to episode 100. And since I gave it up on that podcast, I'll give it up right here. We're trying to figure out the best guy to put on for Ep 100, milestone, century mark. My man, David Goggins, makes his triumphant return. And right now, I'm not sure there's anybody anywhere who fascinates me more than David Goggins. That good. So make sure you look for that next week. We're coming right back. One last segment. We've got the week that was and more. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-8686. Better late than never. Here is your sports update. Jay Berman, anchor. ATP, Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You want to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Romy, if you ever bring back the tour stop as a one-off, what city would you go to? Tom in Tacoma. That's a good one. It's a one-off. All right, so really quickly, for those who do not know, the World Tour or the tour stops, back in the day, I would do 3 or 4 a year, and they were appearances, but they were not your normal appearances. Back in the day, when the world was different, we would go to stadiums, arenas, and it was free, and we would pull really big numbers. I mean, not to be that guy, but like we'd go to the Arco Arena in Sacramento. We went twice. We got 18,000 people the first time we went. Enron was 20,000 people. Kansas City, 14,000 people. And then some of them were not that big, but they were all amazing. So if I were to do a one-off, where would I go? Man, it's so hard. Like, there were some amazing stops. They were all great. In fact, they were all great, and there were two that were bad. Oakland was terrible for whatever reason. No offense, Oaktown. And the Universal City Walk in Southern California was pretty horrible. If by horrible, I mean I started a show and stopped it 4 minutes in and told the guests who were coming to turn around and go back. That's how nasty that one was. Everything else was great. Like, for instance, Green Bay. Green Bay was great. Remember Bill Plaschke, renowned columnist with the LA Times? He showed up in Green Bay in a bar with me for an appearance.
You know why the people here can sit through the games, though.
Plaschke, how do the people of Green Bay sit through Packer football games?
After sitting in a branch for 6 hours waiting for a deer to run underneath a branch, you can sit in the stands after sitting on a sheet of ice trying to kill a sturgeon with a spear. How many people here have ever tried to kill a sturgeon with a spear? That's all I want to know. Yeah, look at them. Look at all of them. Who in the hell tries to kill a sturgeon with a spear? It's the truth. They sit on ice, they sit on ice, and they watch for the fish, and then they stick that spear down through the ice to get the fish. Is that right? Look, it's right! Am I right? No wonder they can sit through a Packer game!
It, knowing Plaschke right now, and maybe you watch him on Around the Horn, or you've seen him on TV, it may not seem like a really big thing. In January of 1997, man, that was fire. That was fire. There was nothing like that going on back then. Plaschke was prepared to fight an entire bar in Green Bay. And that was live on this show. That was The Jungle, live in Green Bay. And the real humor in that is, I'm now a landowner in Wisconsin. I'm probably the guy who's going to sit in a tree and try and kill a sturgeon with a spear. You're next! That one guy screamed out, you're next! So the one-off might be Green Bay. I don't know. It could be anywhere. Or I would never do a one-off. I'd bring the thing back and maybe have it unplugged. How about that? Alvy, are you ready for the week that was? Roll it.
We're going to take it right to him the whole f***ing way. We're going to kick their
f***. I know it is a lot to ask, Alvin, but can I get that deck of yeah from Monday?
Yeah.
Coming off that roadie to New York and back. Back weekends.
And the NFL on CBS, you were... blowing up on that, James.
I've got a question for you. How was your Sunday? Because Jay Gruden's Sunday is not that good.
Nobody's told me anything. I don't have a concern. I'll just wait and see. He works on Monday.
Yeah! Bad news, though. The key did not work today. They broke him off at 5 in the morning. They kicked him to the curb before sunrise. You couldn't wait until 9 a.m.? Doing what they did to Gruden is the ultimate rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic move.
Iceberg, run ahead!
Well, you couldn't see that iceberg. Just turn the freaking boat, man. Jason Lockenfora.
The only surprise is that he lasted into a sixth season. That's an eternity by Redskins coaching standards. I mean, they should induct him into the Ring of Honor right now, Romy.
Touchdown, Raiders!
I'm 56 years old. That's the most fun I've ever had tonight.
I gotta imagine, Raider fan, that autumn wind has got to sound pretty damn good right about now.
You have a whole week off.
Oh, man, they earned it. Just shocked the world. Did the Bears. How awesome would that be? I've never heard Chunk so fired up.
Greetings from the Fairmont Grand in Del Mar. Had to step out because the spa pool area, Brad. No cell phones allowed, Brad. So I'm standing out by the golf course.
That's not even a humble brag. That's a straight brag. Silk brag.
Brag.
Come on.
And maybe it's just me, but when you see the production crew wheel out 4 gigantic stripper poles, maybe you ask what they're for if you don't already know. Are Batman and Robin coming down those poles? No. Snoop's coming.
Smoke some.
And I was like, what was that about? He goes, oh, I accidentally punched him in the face tonight during our routine. And he's going to punch me in the face tomorrow night in San Diego.
To make it right.
To make it right. And that's called a receipt.
Right. Code.
He lost the ball, and Nick Bosa.
Styles make fights. Everybody knows that. And anyone who had watched the Browns knew that Niners D-line was going to be a nightmare matchup. See the Lobster kind of scurrying up over to his kid, dropping his claw over his shoulder. Way to go, Junior. Ryan Holiday.
So I don't touch my phone for the first 1 hour that I'm awake. I want to start the day where I'm in control. I don't want to start reactive.
He muscled up on that. Muscling up and finishing a batter or dry puking into a bucket.
He muscled up on
This is Justin Tuck.
Justin Tuck is my guest.
And it's been challenging to step out of my comfort zone and do something completely different from what I previously was known for. I'm loving every minute of it.
I'm just an old vet, man. I play music, get up in the morning, smoke a bowl, have my coffee, and just hope the world's a better place. You make it a better place as far as in my day, and I wanted to thank you, sir.
I'm talking to Dak Prescott.
You want to put it behind you. You want to put it behind you quick, and you have to. But for me, you just want to get out there, and you're anxious to put your next performance on tape.
Here's the throw. Darnold's got it. He is out.
Better yet, that was an instructional video.
Arm strength, quickness, agility,
and body control. Tom Emanski would be proud.
I'm giving them my full endorsement.
Montreal! How y'all living? I want to hear from a seam head in Granby. Do I have a Rays fan in Pierreville? Can you hear me, Roxton Falls?
And you come to my place, we're going to have a big party. And I take you, me, and my friends, we're going to go to the tavern, and we're going to buy you lots of Quebec beer.
Are we going to really go to the tavern, Jacques?
Hey, Kyle, I'm not seeing the wisdom in your marketing strategy, bro. May I suggest replacing it with one that involves growing the hell up? Just saying.
Adrian Amos, what was the mood and the mindset among the players going into that game?
Just rebound onto the next week, get into Dallas, and stop that run game. We finished strong, and that's the big thing.
It's a grand slam! Howie Kendrick!
Does anybody want to talk about how good the Nats are? Or do you want to spend 3 hours talking about how bad the Dodgers are?
President of the Dodger Hater Club.
Roberts has got to go, and we got to trade Kershaw.
This game should have never went to extra innings.
They do not know how to manage the situation. This one's on Dave.
He was seeing Kershaw's arm. Dave needs to be what I am, Jim. Out.
We're talking to Arash Markazi.
They thought for sure they were going to find a way to win. And then for them not to win and for their season to come to an end like this, it was heartbreaking for them.
Everything people say is true right now.
Emailed
War Kershaw's mom, buying him a Happy Meal after the game. Yay! Poor fella. Their head coach, Dave Claussen, is our guest. Dave, it's good to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. I don't know if I like your lead into it about all the baseball people getting fired, though.
I'm Peyton Manning, and you're the trainer, and I'm dropping D's right on your forehead.
Niner DeForest Buckner joins me for another moment.
Yeah, my dog, Emo, he's a little Cavalier Poodle. You know, he's small enough to where, you know, when he, you know, when he takes a I don't need to worry about some, you know, big piles of everywhere. So
Brooks Koepka.
I was kind of shocked at it that I didn't win Player of the Year, because let's be honest, the trophy's named after Jack Nicklaus. So, I mean, obviously, majors do matter.
Let's keep eating, boys.
Fire that bat, Yachty.
He looks like a big right?
Little darling.
You know, it's kind of like pornography. You know it when you see it.
It's actually damn good.
Yep, you got it. Thanks, Jim.
Building a log cabin.
I would always go to Larry Brown's.
Larry Brown. Like, he would just put it all out there.
Larry Brown.
Good night now!
Larry Brown, you got plans this weekend, right? So be prepared with windshield wipers that can handle anything. Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades are real-world proven for extreme weather performance. They last 2 times longer than other blades. New Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades, only available at Walmart. My thanks to DeForest Buckner. Brooks Koepka made it in. Jim Trotter. The XR4TI crew. James Kelly for showing up once a week. Alvin DeLauro for one of the most amazing weeks that were. Ike for being old. Hawk for having that ridiculous porn stash. Did I forget anybody?